The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, welcome to this interview episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. Today we are joined with Julia Jones, who is in basically what has become one of our favorite television shows on the show, Lock and Key. You may know her as Eden in the show. You may not like her the most, but she's definitely an integral part of the whole experience. Julia, how are you today?
I'm doing lovely. I'm back in Toronto. I was in LA for a bit, and I think I brought the sunshine home with
That's awesome.
Which I'm very happy about, yeah.
So we live in Colorado, which is notoriously horrible when it comes to weather, and we went from, like, 6 inches of snow to, like, 70-degree weather in about a week's worth of time, so.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Colorado, and I have seen the ever-changing weather on the social media.
It is bizarre. So obviously the first thing we want to ask is about Lock and Key. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the show?
Yeah, so I have an agent in Toronto, Fountainhead Talent, and they have been sending me out for auditions for about 2.5 years now. And I did an in-room audition in Toronto for the show, and I fumbled some of my lines, and I was like, oh, I'm never getting that role. So when I booked it, it was the craziest thing ever, because I haven't point blank had a character as big as Eden to work on throughout a series. So that was a really cool experience for me to kind of like think, hey, I'm going to be able to develop a relationship with the people on set and, you know, develop this character over a period of months, which is really, really cool.
That is really cool. So, you know, thinking about your character, you are not the most pleasant person on the show, but you also experience like some pretty traumatic like moments that you know would definitely push somebody over the edge, you know, as in like a bullying sort of way. So how did you play kind of both sides of that coin, like the kid that bullies and the kid that gets bullied?
Well, I speak very honestly about this because I think it's really important too. I was the bully and also the bullied growing up. And I think it was kind of like a cat chasing its tail situation where it was like I was acting out as the bully because I was the bullied and there was insecurities there. And then I was bullied because I was a bully and like that kind of thing. Like I don't believe I have ever said anything as horrible as Eden does. Like Eden's just point blank straight to the face, has no filter kind of gal. Like she has. And that's one thing that helps me separate is because A, I don't identify with that person anymore who I was back in grade school. But Eden's just like so out there where it's just, I don't like that. That's not a nice way to live life. So, I mean, it was difficult being that person, but I was talking to a friend the other day where it's like with character building, it's about feeling it in the eyes. And I feel like with Eden, she just has so many insecurities that we haven't delved into. Obviously, it's not Eden's show, but like there are a lot of insecurities that I'm still discovering, even talking to people about how they perceive her character and why they feel that she acts in a certain way, which has been really interesting. And so as soon as the camera is cut, I just felt her leave my eyes because I take pride in being a kind person because I find it's the easiest way to live. And so It was hard being so outwardly mean, but the writers are just so good at their job that they still created a fun character. And I think that's what maybe put me in the position of being a good Eden is that I brought this kind of like smirk and this smile to her that I think a lot of people when playing the basic Regina George character would go towards more of the smug and just straightforward mean. So, yeah, I have a lot of personal experience I'm not proud of when it comes to being an Eden-like character, but I'm proud that I'm not there anymore. But it works in my favor for playing Eden.
Growth is good, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's the only way for us to ever get past who we used to be. And if anyone believes that, you know, growth is impossible, then kind of living with their head in their sand and they're never going to learn anything new about themselves. So, yeah, growth is important.
It is. So when you're you know, getting ready for the role, obviously there's a lot of source material. And as like a comic book focused podcast, we always like to ask, when people are involved in television shows and movies that are based on comic books, did you get a chance to like dig into like the books themselves and kind of like experience that?
Yeah, definitely. So when I booked the show, I knew it was a series, but I didn't know how popular it already was. And I was talking to one of my guy friends, and I was like, oh yeah, I just booked this show called Lock and Key. And he hops up and runs across to get his 6-part, the big book collection thing. Yeah, whatever that's officially called. And he gave it to me and he was like, you have to read these. And of course I was going to read them. And I did. I went through them so quickly. And Eden isn't a character, obviously, from the comic book, but I kind of see Eden as a mixture between Jordan and Tim Troper.
Right.
So that's, I mean, all TV shows have to adapt in some way. We don't want to see the same story we've seen before, and B, we have to have characters that are diverse and different. And it's been really, really cool to like have my own ability to create this character without feeling the pressures of like what Amelia Jones and Connor Jessup and Jackson are going through with like creating these characters who people already have a love for and an understanding or their own idea of who these characters are. It's kind of like a biopic that's taking on a lot of pressure. And I feel like for me, as early as I am in my career, it was nice to be a part of a show where I understood the tone. I understood the characters that we were trying to build, but still have the leniency of being able to create Eden from the ground up with the writers.
You know, what's awesome about that is, you know, in shows like The Walking Dead or like in Lock and Key, where they take, you know, small liberties with like characters to like kind of create composite characters, you actually end up creating characters that fans of the show and the comic book really, really love. Mm-hmm. And I think the story arc that's being told with your character, like throughout the show, I find really compelling, even though it wasn't originally part of the book. And I was going to ask, you know, with your character not being in the book, how do you feel like the book influenced your development of that character?
I think going back to the tonality of the whole thing, of what we were going for as a big picture, I found, like I said, a lot of comfort in looking at Kim Troper, particularly. Jordan's kind of more of a badass than I would say Eden is, but Kim, Eden relates to on such a high level because of like, you know, wanting to be the actor and being kind of the popular girl at school and trying to get with the hottest guy or like being with the hottest guy, whatever it is. And so for me, just reading the books was a good idea just for the whole tonality, but it still was like, it was up to me to kind of find my place in it as Eden.
That's cool. It's like understanding the world you inhabit, but also being able to just create something wholesale. That's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So, as you know, as you're going forward, you know, this is basically your first big role, like, you know, being able to kind of jump into like something so big. Does it seem kind of daunting, or is this something you feel like you've been preparing your whole life for and now you're ready to do this?
So it's interesting because ever since I was a kid, I've always known I wanted to be a performer, but then there were multiple, you know, big bumps in my life that made me feel like, oh, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe, you know, I'm not, this isn't something for me. But I feel because I've been interested in performing through my whole life, when I did get an agent, I've always kind of been in tune with the performance and creative aspect of everything that I do. But being on set with a lot of people who have been in the industry for so long and have done such fantastic work, I don't know if you know the term imposter syndrome, but I've dealt with that a lot, feeling like, oh, do I deserve to be here? And I think, you know, as humans, we constantly have those questions going through our head, and it's just a reminder of, like, I'm only on this show because they believe in me, and I need to believe in myself. So that's been a really interesting thing to tackle, because it is my first major role. It's my first big role ever. So it's a lot of pressure, yes, but I just have to keep on reminding myself I'm here for a reason. I'm here to do a job. I pass the test. I feel confident that I know what I'm doing, and I also feel confident in the fact that there's a lot to learn, and it's great being surrounded by such a fantastic and kind group of people in the side of production as well as the cast and crew, who are so endlessly supportive of what everyone is doing. And that's, I think, the biggest gift that I can walk away from this first big experience, is that I've been gifted with a lot of lovely people who helped me believe in me.
So when you realize that this show that you're on and that you're a pretty big part of is wildly successful, like, it's been in the top 10 on Netflix for a couple months now, like, they're talking about subsequent seasons, and, like, you see kind of how shows like Stranger Things have blown up, and this has the potential to do that too. You know, how do you kind of, like, is there a moment where you're like, okay, I just gotta step away for a second, take a breath, like what does that feel like?
It's overwhelming. Definitely is. It's been really cool, for sure. The biggest thing I focused on before the show dropped was tuning into my friendships more than ever, and my relationships with the people I love the most, because I think with something like looking at the Stranger Things world, their lives have been changed forever. And Netflix has such star power and such a platform that, you know, even if my life is kind of chill right now, even though the show just came out, like, this has opened up and will continue to open up a lot of opportunities for me. But the most important thing at the end of the day is being able to come home and be surrounded by people who don't see Eden, and they don't see the Netflix thing. They don't see any of that. It's scary. It's exhilarating. It's confusing. It's unsuspecting. And it's, I don't know where it will go, and I think we all felt like there was something special about this production, that everyone involved was there to work on a passion project, and I think that shows through the show, which has been really beautiful to see everyone online reacting to it so positively. Like, even if there's a slight mention of something negative, it still follows up with something positive, which I think is a really, really cool and fantastic thing to be a part of, that I'm honored to be a part of. But yeah, it's overwhelming. It's really cool, and the possibilities are endless, and I'm just excited to kind of run with it and see where it goes. And like I said, I've been wanting to be in this industry since I was a kid, so I think I'm made for it. So as long as I can keep true to myself and keep doing what I love to do and be surrounded by people who I love, that's all that really matters to me.
That's awesome. Like, you know, it's fun. I love doing these interviews because we get to talk to just all sorts of people, from television, movies, music, comic books, all sorts of stuff. And, like, you come to that realization that, like, I don't know you, you know, I don't get to interact with you, like, on a personal level. We don't go to coffee or anything like that. I just see you on screen and interact with you, like, effectively as a consumer of media. And then when I get this opportunity to talk to, like, these different people that participate in shows and help create, like, the things that entertain me, and you guys are normal human beings, I think it's so good for us to... It's so good for us to reinforce that, because then it helps kind of demystify, like, that that like cult of celebrity, like, oh my gosh, she's in this huge TV show, but instead you're a normal person and you you're like, I'm so glad that I'm not in California right now, like so many people. You know,
it's, well, it's, I just was for the past month, and honestly I think a big thing for me is that I speak through kindness and I act through kindness, and I found only kind people in California through that. And I'm sure if I spent longer, you know, you're going to find the bad apples. But I think if you surround yourself with good people, that's the most important part. And for me, I mean, I've never been a starstruck kind of person. The only person I got starstruck over was Anderson .Paak, who walked by me in a bar. I don't know if you know, but that was the only person that really, like, I was like, whoa, a legend just walked by.
I love that guy.
But I love doing interviews like this where I can just be honest about, you know, where I am and where I'm going and my hopes and whatnot. And I try to do that as much as possible on Instagram and Twitter as well, to just be shamelessly myself, not perfect. Like, I'm also a musician, and I've only really been getting back into music the past year, so I'm not great at piano or guitar, but I want to share the imperfect moments to maybe help somebody who wants to pick up the piano or guitar say, oh, like, she's still learning, I can learn too, and not uphold this idea of perfectionism that I think a lot of quote-unquote celebrity has. Like, we have such a great opportunity with social media to really put ourselves out there and be shamelessly ourselves. Like, I'm not interested in being perfect. I quite honestly find perfectionism pretty boring and pretty daunting. So what I love about, like, interviews like this is just being out there, being, you know, real and connecting with someone and then connecting with people I have no idea who they are. That's really cool to me. Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap up the interview, what I want to know is what are we going to see from you in the future? Like, what kind of things do you have, like, in the works and, you know, getting ready to launch on the world?
So music is a really big part of my life. Acting comes first, of course. So hopefully season 2 and maybe season 3 and maybe I don't know.
I'm hoping for at least half a dozen seasons.
Yeah, I'm hoping for at least, like, I think 3-4 is a good sweet spot for Netflix. But I would love to expand beyond TV and Netflix to films and whatnot. I would love to keep working. I'm hoping to keep working and, you know, develop the next few seasons with all the people I've come to call really good friends. And in the way of my music, I'm currently working in studio with a bunch of incredibly talented Toronto musicians who I'm very excited to release that stuff and share a piece of me through my music. And I don't have any guarantee of when things are going to be coming out, but I think I'll just be kind of dropping sporadically and just sharing little snippets throughout social media and whatnot. So there are things coming up. It's all in the works.
The last question we have to ask, of course, is the super dork question, which I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times already, but if you had a key, which key would you want? The anywhere key, exactly.
I know, it's coming.
So here's the way.
Key. Oh my God, yeah.
Here's the way we get around asking the dork question. If you could make up a key, what would you have a key do?
So I have a little key that I had from high school that I refound just before my lock and key audition, funny enough. And I've been wearing it ever since I booked the show. And ever since I booked this show, some of the best, most wonderful things have happened in my life. And so I've kind of considered it my positivity key. And Meredith Avril, the showrunner, she joked with me on the premiere night because I was asked that question actually on the carpet. And she's like, oh, is it a positivity key? And so that's Meredith's funny little... That's our funny little joke about the key. But yeah, I would love to have a key that could just take out the negative energy from a room. As cliche and crazy as that sounds, like, I think, you know, some of the best nights I've ever spent, especially in, you know, making music and whatnot, have been when everyone's in such a positive mindset. You know, I really don't like surrounding myself with negative energy. It just brings me down. I'm so perceptive to it. So if I could have any key in the world, I would have a positivity key.
That's awesome. I also love that there's a dad joke wrapped up in there. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. All thanks to Meredith Avril.
Well, I'm sure that the writers on Lock and Key and Joe Hill would find a way to have that have dark connotations in some way. But but if not, that sounds really awesome. How can our fans find you? You know, keep up with your Instagram, all the social media places.
Yeah, my Instagram is my main space. I do have a Twitter. Both of them are under Haleah Jones. And I'm trying for the life of me to figure out how to use TikTok, but I feel like a boomer. Like, I have no idea how to use it. I'm just trying to figure it out. So, yeah, social media is mainly like my Instagram and my Twitter.
You have to take the Gen X attitude that I have and just be like, too much new stuff. I'm done.
Yeah. I'm just going to go crawl into a corner and just be like, someone else deal with it for me, please. There's too much to do. But it's all part of the job, so it's fun, whatever.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show. We really, really appreciate the time, and we are loving Lock and Key. Thank you so much for being in it,
and
hopefully we get to see a second season soon. And if we do, we'll have to have you on again to talk more about how it's going.
Yeah. Thank you so much for reaching out, and I will hopefully chat with you again at some point in the future.
Nice.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.